After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
That's the end of this podcast. We will see you next week. That folks, was supposed to be a sound check for Ram Dass's microphone. And now we have a very otherworldly sound check, more like a meditation to start our podcast. So this is Ram Dass Here and Now. I'm Raghu Marcus. Hi, Ram Dass.
Hello, Raghu.
Hi. And
hello. Hello, Raghu. Hello, Raghu. Hello, Raghu.
Hello.
Hey, Raghu. Raghu, Raghu. Hey.
Yeah.
We're spanning the United States.
Yeah.
But I'll speak loud because
Yeah, so I can hear you from Hawaii. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard Hawaii wants to go independent, by the way. They may not allow you to live there anymore, but we'll see what happens. That'll be like Trump. Yeah, it's supposed to go independent. They're saying Hawaii is going to... There's something going on. You must be reading about it. But hopefully they'll let you stay there. I think they like you.
They would like you to stay here.
Yeah, okay. So I've been reading, we just talked before, Larry Brilliant. Everybody, Larry Brilliant, who's part of our satsang. And Larry has, I think many people know who Larry is and the work that he has done. The most famous thing, of course, helping to get rid of smallpox around the world, starting in India. And the work he's done more recently with... that he's doing now with Jeff Skoll, getting after pandemics and so on. This has been Larry's life work. He just put a book together, and I just told Ram Dass, so I've been reading it. And, of course, he tells his whole story of meeting Maharaji in India due to his wife's perseverance. And it brought me right back into that moment. I was just saying, I'm like completely in Kenchi in that moment. It's just so it's quite a book, by the way, and you just go up to Amazon and pre-order that. Okay, that's a little kick for Larry.
It's called Sometime Brilliant.
And you read it?
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Oh, I'm halfway through it, and I feel the same. And wonderfully written as well. Okay, so this show is brought to you by the Larry Brilliant, Sometimes Brilliant book on Harper One. So in thinking about, I wanted to chat with you about a couple of things. You have no idea either.
No.
I'm going to surprise you. The first thing I want to talk about, you talk a lot over the years about imagination, right? Certainly an important topic, imagination, which is a lot of how you really inform people to create a relationship with the guru. So I found a couple of things I just wanted to read to you that are quite amazing because they really parallel what you usually say about it, which we'll have you say. Everything and all experiences have their starting point in imagination. The computer you are staring at was at one point an image in someone's mind. The building you are sitting in was first created in someone's imagination. The contract you just wrote for your client began in your imagination. The fight you had with your boss or partner, you created it in your imagination. The activities of the imagination are what drive our world. As Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Also called the faculty of imagining, imagination is our ability to form new pictures and sensations that are not perceived through the physical senses of sight, hearing, taste, feeling, or touch. The word imagination comes from the Latin word imaginare, which means to picture oneself. And depending on how you use it, your imagination can either empower or hinder you because your imagination creates your reality. Regrettably, many of us have been directed away from consciously using our imagination. We have been told that imagination, listen to this, right, is nothing more than fantasy and has no place in our real world. We have been taught that imagination is only for those in the creative fields or children. Yet your imagination is always operating. You are utilizing the faculty of imagination on a continual basis to explore and create situations and experiences. Within your imagination, everything is possible, and there are no limits. As French philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau said, "The world of reality has its limits. The world of imagination is boundless." How great is that?
That's great. Huh? Yeah.
Why don't you talk about it, though, in terms of how you do talk about it, helping people connecting with their deepest inside, their guru, whatever we want to call it.
Well, the spiritual world is created from our imagination. I remember that a fellow came up to me and said, you speak to your dead guru. I said, yeah. He said, that's your imagination. He was sort of putting it down. And I said, yeah. And when I want to speak to Maharaji, first of all, I feel the presence. That means that he's here. And then I go into my imagination to talk to him. He's always there in my imagination. Yeah. Somebody says, talking to him in your imagination, you're imagining that. No. It's just a different plane of consciousness. I imagine spiritual things but I don't do them in I don't imagine they are in the imagination. It's not an act of me. It's a communication interaction.
You mean a communication? So you, what I think you're saying is you actually, the way that you're communicating is you're creating an image in your mind of Maharaji, in this case, who you're communicating with, and that on the plane of, on that plane of consciousness, he actually opens up to communicate with you on that plane. What you're saying?
Yeah.
So, and that's the communication, because that's my own experience of it, is that first of all, you say, first, I feel the presence, you said before. Let's talk about that for a second, meaning you settle down your mind and body.
Yeah. It's thick, like the air is thick. And I think many people feel that presence. It's like you were in a dark room and you feel somebody's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just a presence.
In my own practice, how I get to the feeling like I'm alone in a dark room and suddenly I feel a presence is by, because in this case, of course, we're talking about communicating with the guru or the inner guru, right? And whoever that is to you, communicating with God. And it's so putting an image, and in our case, it would be an image of Maharaji. And once I feel settled enough and there is that presence that you're speaking of, and then I, through that image, I feel comfortable hanging out and talking to him and not feeling...
Yeah.
Right? That's pretty much what you're talking about in terms of yeah, using the imagination. So there is a methodology, I guess that's what I'm trying to get to. You have to sit and just quiet. I mean, I have to quiet myself or I'm not feeling any presence, obviously. And then I like the image of being in a dark room, because for me it's like being surrounded by just a quietness. And then once that happens, that it's a landscape from which I can use my imagination to connect with Maharaji.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yep.
Here's another an interesting... I found this book in Rishikesh, of all places. it's a book of different shamanistic things. I just thought, wow, this is interesting. I wonder why I'm buying it. So here's this. Among all the forces of the human soul, imagination is perhaps the least explored, given that it relates to the construction of the entire body, and in particular of the brain and nerves. It seems therefore not only to be the link for and the basis of all the subtle forces of the soul, but also the knot of the relationships between mind and body. I thought that was really excellent too, right?
Yeah.
And I just think, and for pragmatists, or we call them Buddhists, actually. Pragmatists. Your favorite. Who might poo-poo the whole imagination thing. What do you have to say to them?
I'm sorry.
Oh, God, that's terrible. I just think, though, that in terms of many people are scared of this, right? They're scared of or stuff happening. My wife had this incredible experience in India, and she came back. She's doing all these practices, and she's like thinking, and things are happening to her, but she's saying, I don't know if it's my mind or my imagination in a way that's fantasy. It's easy for people to get caught in this thing, right? So how can we have some trust around this? How do we get some trust around it? That we're not bullshitting ourselves.
Faith. Faith, 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 faith. I think bullshitting, looking at things bullshit is very much mind. And just go into the experience and then register within your deepest place. And that gives you the differentiation. Yeah.
You're great.
Yeah, I hear my inner voice say there's something wrong here, or there's something, it's bullshit. But then no, this is real. Real doesn't mean the scientific real. Real means that and imagination I can really speak to Maharaji. He really does speak to me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, interesting. Because the second thing I had to talk about, you brought it up. How prescient of you was faith. Remember in India, we used to, and Ramesh is there visiting Ram Dass right now, working on a new book. And we would sit around, and all of a sudden Ram Dass decided to get into a mantra. I'm reminding you, faith, no fear. Faith, no fear. You remember that?
Yep.
So, okay, so my little admission, I mean, back then with Maharaji, not every day, I don't want to be too dramatic, but a lot of the time, I was so in fear of, he's going to kick me out of here, right? I'm gone, because I'm a shit. There's no way that I could possibly stay here. And, to this day, mind warp still sometimes goes on, you know, with if I'm entertaining thoughts in any way, thinking that they're real at all, there's still that fear. And if you remember this story, fear, because thinking back then, it was just that mirror was so drastic to see that. I mean, your first experience with Maharaji, right? When he told them the story of your mom and all of that. And then you had these horrible thoughts. Oh, my God, if he knows that, he knows everything. And he just had this complete unconditional love. But even with that, there was still that place in us, I think, not just me. I think everybody's involved. Of feeling like I'm just bad. That's all there is to it. And in one day, we sat in front of Maharaji by his office, and Ram Dass, you were feeling bad. You were feeling so impure. You said, Maharaji, I am so impure. That's terrible. And you were like, you know, even tears coming. And Maharaji, he looked at you and he went, huh? What are you talking about? I let you peel potatoes in the kitchen, don't I? And that was about, you're good, because Westerners are considered to be untouchables, and nobody in any ashram would ever let Westerners peel potatoes. It wouldn't happen except with Maharaji, right? So, and he was saying, of course you're good. How could you be doing that without... So,
but there was another incident when I said I was impure, and he said, stand up. Then he said, circle around.
Yeah.
And he was looking and looking and looking my up and down. I don't see any impurities.
You checked out. So with all of this, so how do we deal this whole thing of faith, fear, and faith? How do we deal with this? It's that even today, you know, this. Of course, this all has to do with, in any way, identifying with mind. Of course, but fear is still fear, and it's a guttural kind of a thing, and very difficult. How do you deal with it? Are you still dealing with it?
Fear is the ego. And I deal with it. If it's a fearful image, I think, what am I doing here? I'm feeling, unclean. Because of me. And then I said, well, solve this one. And I get down to the heart. And the heart is the doorway to the soul. And then the soul looks at all the thoughts. Yeah, that thought is not going to get me to God. Then because I'm in the soul, I'm loving everything. Then I'll just love it. I love it. I love that thought. I used to say, I love it to death, but that's not good for the soul.
Why not?
Just love it.
Just love it.
Because I think anything negative hurts the soul. And I'm not going to hurt my soul.
Just love it. Sorry.
Just love it. Just love it.
Just love it. Yeah. No, I was going, and I have to say, you know, because I'm thinking of myself, just love it. There's, of course, just love the thought and allow it to evaporate and not have a grip.
Yeah.
And then there's loving the incarnation that came in with all of these issues and karma and suffering and attachment and on and on and on. Just honoring that and loving that, and it is what it is. That's a very difficult place to get to.
It's all karma.
But I think that's necessary. In terms of faith, actually, there's a great thing in Larry's book. I don't have it in front of me, where he says something like, doubt is just part of the journey of faith. It's not a bad thing. It's just human, and it's part of what we are. And that's the way in which we can love ourselves and say, okay, this is just part of what's of this unraveling of karma. One can have faith in that, that's for sure. By the way, I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the podcast, but the reason we're doing, not the only reason, I mean, I love just hanging out with you, but there's a commemoration here. This is the 100th podcast of yours.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Me introducing your talks, or you and I hanging out, whatever it is. 100. Isn't that something? Over the last maybe 2 years and change, something like that.
How did I speak that much?
Well, we have 5 decades. We ought to be able to get 100 talks out of it. pretty amazing, though.
Congratulations.
You too. God knows, what will we do? So the last thing I wanted to just talk about for a second. Do you know who Mingyur Rinpoche is? His story? He's a youngish lama who who came from, he was one of a family of Rinpoches, who, and their father was a very famous Rinpoche, if it wasn't Tulku Urgyen, I think. So he, you know, he came from sort of a privileged life in the way that he was set up in a monastery and people took care of him and he was fed and he taught and all of this. And then one day he decided, this is not, I need to go and just be on my own and go out in the world without anything. So he went off as a hermit and he didn't tell anybody where he was going. And he was in India, and he started in Benares, or I think he ended up there for a while. Oh, yeah, at the train station, he got super sick. And he had been in a life of so much comfort that he really, this was all new to him, living on the streets with beggars and sadhus and doing that whole trip and then going in caves and so on. He finally made it to the Himalayas, but he almost died, I believe, in the train station in Benares. And he spent 2 years doing this and eventually had a very enlightening experience. And he came back and he did a video of it. But what, and he talked about the whole trip. It's just fantastic, actually. And at the very end of it, the advice he gives is he said, all I could say to you is I wake up every day and I find something, I'm thankful, I have gratitude. That's what to do. Wake up and have thankfulness for you've been given this body, whatever it may be, to be in this life, whatever it may be, the smallest thing to the biggest thing. And it just struck me, this idea of being grateful for so many things. How does this operate in your own life? And talk about gratitude.
I've had tough time with gratitude. Really? Because it seems like it's a psychological thing. And usually doesn't, it's spiritual, meaning he's using it spiritually.
Yeah.
But I give gratitude to Maharaji. That's, boy. If I say that I'm having trouble with gratitude, he'll get after me. It's a troubling thing in me because it's in our psyche and not in our soul. I don't think. But I realize that I'm kind of nutty with that.
Okay, you got to explain it a little further. Let's take a real time. I mean, a direct thing to talk about in terms of. Let's say, I have a difficult time with it too. That's why I was so taken by this thing with Mingyur Rinpoche of it. You know, more New Age babble shit. You know, be grateful.
Right.
Jeez. But then when I heard it, and he's so real and obviously deeply, deeply connected being, I thought, okay. And also, by the way, I also went getting older and how the preciousness of everything. And I actually started with, I'm really grateful to know so many people, like from the days in India, that I'm still so close to. I just went to this Bhandara in Massachusetts for Maharaji and hadn't seen people there. I hadn't been there in a long time, so some people I hadn't seen in 20, easily 20, 30 years. And to have that moment, be present no matter what, is such a staggering thing. So I actually thought, wow, I am really thankful for that. Okay, so that's a real world. What's your take on that? I mean, I actually felt it sincerely, so I was I'm completely cool with whatever. You know, I knew it was real for me. I was happy, thankful.
I think it's real, but it is. It's your psyche.
It's coming from the psyche.
Yeah. But. I don't think it comes from the soul.
Thankfulness. Really? Well, I have to disagree. In that moment, I was not feeling any duality, subject, object. There was no reason I was saying it. It just came to me. I just felt great that I had this large community of people so deeply connected in this lifetime.
Yeah.
I felt great. So I did not feel it was something coming out of my brain. I know I'm good at motives. And I didn't feel like it was anything coming out of my brain that had any idea of needing to be acknowledged because I was thinking that or anything like that. It was a moment. I was just in a moment of, wow. All these people.
Wow.
Yeah. So that to me is soul. How is that not soul?
Yeah.
And you saying, you said Maharaji. You said, I'm thankful I met Maharaji, right? I mean,
yeah.
Certainly that can be said in a, I'm thankful I met you. How about that? Without you, I wouldn't have met Maharaji. I'm very thankful that I have said that. Other people have said that to me too, and I take it directly from their soul.
Okay. All right.
Do
all
I
right.
win?
Okay. The moment in Massachusetts was soul.
Okay. That's it. But now it's acknowledgement. It's acknowledgement from you, and now it may be, oh my God, maybe it's my psyche. I was waiting for this acknowledgement. Oh God. This is so great, Hank. So great hanging out with you today. How about talk about soul? Can we do a little little meditation around? Like I say, I was in this book with Larry and being in Kenchi and back in the day in his incredible descriptions of the details of hanging out with Maharaji. I was just in that space. So how about a continuation of that, a little meditation? In our podcast here, by the way, on the Be Here Now Network, Ram Dass's Here and Now podcast that I introduce, and happy to be with you.
Happy to be with you. So is in us and the soul is another plane of consciousness. You don't notice it. Now, you get into the soul from the heart. was so it's coming from God. Coming from the one, and therefore it has love in it, compassion, peace, joy. Consciousness. That's what you and I are. That's what you and I are. Deep in the soul, we have what the Hindus call the Atman. That is a combination of the One, the Guru, and the soul. I'm sorry, the self. Self. Oh boy. Inside the soul, it's all love. It's all love. Your love. I'm love. My wheelchair is love. The building I'm sitting in is love. Computers that we communicate with is love. Is love. It means everything has everything is manifestation. Manifest from love, from the One. Just love. Just love. Just love. You're swimming in the ocean of love. Love, 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 joy, joy. Joyful, joyful, joyful. Consciousness, consciousness, consciousness. Peace. Feel the peace. Feel the peace in the soul. The peace within. And the compassion. Everywhere, every being you look at, you have the compassion for. Because you are identified with your soul, and with that identification, then you recognize other people as souls. And a soul feels compassion and love. For other people. Maharaji said to me, love everybody. And I thought, I can't do that, Maharaji. So he, a few minutes later, he got me nose to nose. And he round us, love everybody, and tell the truth.
Bless.
And he was directing me to my soul, because my soul loves everybody. And tells the truth. It's just wonderful to be in your soul, to be in that perception. The universe is just love. The stars are love. All of it, all of it. And you are love. You are love. Wow. 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 Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yum, 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 yum.
We thank you, Ram Dass. I am thankful for today. Going back to gratitude, this is a purely thankful moment for me, okay? I am thankful to hang out with you like this, in this space, in our soul pod. And I'm thankful for that soul pod that happened in Massachusetts, and I'm thankful for this moment. And
and right now we are talking soul to soul.
Yeah. For our 100th episode of Ram Dass Here and Now. 100. It's unbelievable. Thank you for today. Really, I do appreciate you taking time to hang out with me. And so, namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. Namaste.
Great.